This is Capital Insider, an inside look at Oklahoma politics and policy, coming up on week 8 of the legislative special session.
If the legislature makes draconian cuts to these state agencies, I won't be for that. We'll stay. I told them a little while ago, I'll stay till Christmas.
I'm Dick Pryor with eCapital News Director Sean Ashley. Sean, a big push to pass revenue-raising measures to fill the state's budget hole and begin placing the Oklahoma government on a more stable financial footing fell 5 votes short. So to recap, legislators need to find $215 million to balance the budget, an extra $30 million that needs to go immediately to the State Department of Health. In 7 weeks, what have they accomplished?
One bill has made it through both chambers, a bill appropriating $23.3 million to the Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services. Governor Mary Fallon signed that bill, so the department will be getting that money. That agency received $75 million from the tobacco cessation fee, so this is only about a third of the money that they needed to make up the shortfall that that one agency was experiencing. The other agencies thus far have not seen any help whatsoever in addressing the situation.
With time running short before drastic cuts to agencies have to occur, what are lawmakers considering?
There are several pieces of legislation which the House has passed and sent over to the Senate, and this essentially would appropriate all of the available carryover money, leaving no cash for the legislature to deal with the Department of Health situation that exists now, where they need upwards of $30 million, perhaps by the end of the month, just to make payroll.
That carryover money is one-time money.
That's one-time money. And the Senate has been very, very explicit in saying that they did not want to use up all their cash reserves in dealing with the current situation.
Speaker Charles McCall seems resigned to a cash and cuts approach with one-time money, while the Senate has been more interested in raising revenue for a longer-term solution. Are the two houses even working together?
I'm not sure that they are. Since the beginning, the Senate has been clinging to this idea of recurring revenue and finding a way to address the problem going forward. That is something that fits right into the approach that Senator Scholz announced when the legislative session began back in February, that they were looking toward the future, not just tomorrow. In the case of the House and House Speaker McCall, cuts always seem to have been a portion of their plan, along with using any available cash reserves that they could get their hands on.
Governor Fallon has implored legislators not to use one-time money to fill the hole and not to cut agencies even more. And after the House failed to pass the bill called the A-plus plan, she expressed her frustration.
There are those in the Capitol that will never feel like we've audited enough, never feel like we've cut enough. I mean, there's no way to make them happy. But what I know is that we have to solve our problem, and our brand and our image of a state is suffering, and it's embarrassing.
The governor added that this is not a joke and there is not a bunch of money sitting around. And ominously, she reminded that there is likely to be a $600 million budget hole next session.
That's why the Senate has been so committed to the idea of recurring revenue. You need additional money coming into the state in order to offset the $600 million of one-time money which you use to balance the current fiscal year's budget. We also heard this from some members of the House, it is worth noting. Former House Appropriations and Budget Chair Leslie Osborne, in debating for the A-plus plan, pointed to the need for recurring revenue, which that bill would have generated.
Raising taxes will be especially problematic next year in 2018 because it's an election year.
I don't think it'll be problematic. I think it will be impossible because it's an election year. Nobody wants to cast a vote for a tax increase in an election year, even if it means preventing state services from being cut.
Without a budget fix, what happens on or about December 1st?
We begin to see state services cut, curtailed, and eliminated. And we're already beginning to see the effects of some of that. With these new cuts forthcoming, we'll see additional private providers cut their services, and we'll see additional state-provided services at least be suspended or go by the wayside.
Sean, what is on the agenda for the week ahead?
That's a good question. Lawmakers hopefully will talk and come up with a new plan, a new approach that could be put on the floor and passed to address these situations.
That's Capital Insider. If you have questions, email us at news@kgou.org. Until next time, with Sean Ashley, I'm Dick Pryor.